Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I'm Pastor John. The ministry of Headed Home is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find and answer the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
Jesus Christ, it is without question
one of the most important things
that we have to have as Christians, because we can believe in the Lord all day long and say we do, but if we don't have the faith, then what do we have? Oh yeah, I place my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, but when I die, if it ain't real, well then whatever. No, that's not faith. That's actually a demonstration of faithlessness. You're saying you think and hope that faith is there, but you know what? You really don't believe that it's true. And again, the faith of our fathers, we're going to start looking at the myriad, the countless number of people that have lived before us that we see all throughout Scripture that had faith. And not only that, how God blessed their faith. The same way that, honestly, I know a lot of you guys aren't on board with the autonomous vehicles yet, but I took a test drive of Tesla, you know, what John and I, we had 9 months ago. Hey, I had faith like crazy, man. They get autopilot on that thing and just let it drive. It ended up getting off the interstate, braking, and doing everything. It changed lanes, and on I-65 with all these cars around it, I looked in the screen, and it could tell you whether it was a truck, car, or anything else all the way around you and them approaching it. I had faith in it. When you get up in the morning and your head hurts, why do you take Tylenol? Because you assume that what is in your head? A brain. Now, some of you might question that. Amen. But you take Tylenol because you have faith that you have a brain. Have you ever seen your brain? I've seen other people's brains. I have. I know I have one because why? Because you think, you process, you can see, you can walk. You want to know the processing power that it takes to do this right here, upright, and balance yourself? It's a lot that goes on. Cut off your big toes. Anybody know about that? You ever notice in the Bible when they'd cut off the king's toes, you know why they did that? And his thumbs? They're ineffective. You lose your balance, you can't pick anything up. You basically lose your strength, your power. Think about all that God put in our bodies that is so complex. You don't sit around and go, you know, I wonder if, you know, yeah, I've lost my mind. No, you have a brain in there. You know that. You, in faith, you know it's there. You believe it's there, even though you've not seen it. That's what faith, the faith in God, in all reality, I believe it's easier to question whether we had a brain in us than it is God, because every single day, God is doing tangible things in our lives as Christians. We can see His work. We can see His power. Even in the convicting power of God, there is His presence. In the comforting strength of God, in the Spirit's power that indwells us, is the manifestation of His presence. So again, tonight, the faith of our fathers, will start this really kind of a series we'll go over through the next number of weeks. And if you can have found Hebrews chapter 11, let's go ahead and stand as we read verse 1 and 2 out of reverence for the reading of God's Word. Now faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen, for our ancestors won God's approval by it. Father, I thank You tonight, Lord, for the Word, God, Your Word, the only Word, the truth. It is the way, the truth, and the life. And Father, we know tonight that there is no truth found in anything else other than You and Your Word. God, I pray that Your Word would speak to whatever need it is we have tonight, God, whether it's faithlessness, Lord, or to grow or affirm our faith. But God, we give You full and free reign tonight. Lord, hide me behind the cross so that You might do what only You can do. We ask this all in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. First part of verse 1 there. Now, faith is the reality of what is hoped for. Think about this. Faith is the reality. Now, some versions will say, now, faith is being sure of what we hope for. Other versions say different things, but basically it's the same exact thing. But tonight in the Holman Christian Standard that I'm using, now, faith is the reality of what is hoped for. First thing that I'm going to share with you comes from that first part of verse 1 there. Faith is the all-consuming belief of what we hope is true. Faith is that all-consuming belief of what we hope, our hope in Christ. We know that the faith we have in God, it's the all-consuming belief. We know it to be true. That hope we have in God tonight as followers of Jesus Christ is the realization, it's the knowledge, it's the absolute belief in everything that we know that we have placed our faith and trust in Jesus Christ for what He is. It's that reality of what is hoped for, what we hope in, the unveiling of the great hope of all Scripture was who? Christ. The hope that has always been looked to all throughout the Old Testament. What is that? Old Covenant. Was everything was pointing to the promised Messiah. The revealing of God's, the blessed hope. You hear about, what is it? We're looking for that blessed hope. What is a blessed hope? Jesus. One day, when you and I stand in the presence of the Lord, this all-consuming belief of what we know, the hope in Christ, is going to be where our faith becomes sight, as Beulah Land says. One day, when we stand in the presence of the Lord, our faith will become sight. So what does that mean? Our faith, well, we were hoping, no, the blessed hope in Christ, it is a truth, it's there. It is the manifestation of God's work and power every single day, revealing itself greater to us as we seek, as we long for the presence of God to greater grow us in our walk with Christ. It is that reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen, that second part of verse 1. And out of that second part of verse 1 is the second point for tonight. Faith lived out is the absence of doubt. Faith lived out is the absence of doubt. Because what is doubt? Faithlessness. That's what doubt is. Because what we do in doubt is we're saying we really don't know for sure if God is real. When we doubt, what we're doing is giving the enemy the ability to capitalize on something that is completely non-existent. Meaning, God is real. We know that. So what the enemy does when he tries to take captive our hearts and minds with doubt is he's trying to capitalize on our, in a sense, unbelief. You see in Scripture when someone would struggle with that, you remember the guy that says, hey, help my unbelief. One of the things many years ago I came to realize, and it was God that did it, as a matter of fact, when I was really digging deep, studying, was when I read that book by Billy Graham that I've shared with you guys about Billy Graham being challenged to lay it down, the Bible one day, and understand that the only battle within his soul was a battle with his own finite limitations. We are not infinite. God is infinite. We are finite, meaning we are limited by our human minds, our human intellect. You and I can't, you know, go to Mars, right? They're working on trying to do that. Good luck, friends. They may go to Mars one day. Good luck. Have fun. You're going to get cooked by the radiation alone. It is truly going to be a suicide mission when they do that one day. I believe they will. I believe humankind cannot be, the old saying, leave well enough alone. Amen? And everyone is going to try to realize this great escape plan from all of this noxious fumes they think we're doing and this destruction of the world and all that, not realizing that God's coming back, sending Jesus Christ to redeem mankind. And your plan better be for a real escape plan, and that's Christ. Amen? Mars ain't going to, you're going to be in trouble, right? Is the rapture going to come to the earth, not Mars, of people on earth? You ever thought about that? It says Jesus come back to earth. Well, what's happening to people on Mars? Are they going to miss the boat? No, he's going to get them too. Amen? That's deep, isn't it? Have you thought about that one? I bet Plato or Pluto or whoever it was, I bet he didn't talk about that one. Amen? That was a little bit too far out at that point in history. But see, people think that they can thwart God's plan. They think that in the complexity of human reason, we can breach the finite limitations of our minds. Just because we can't comprehend it, people don't want to believe that it's real. The same way that if you and I believe for a moment that a man like Stephen Hawking is one that should be trusted and believed when he says there's no God, because he was, by the way, was past tense, this, they would say, brilliant astrophysicist. Brother and sister, by his mere rejection of God, of absolute moral truth, actually to me, revealed that he was completely devoid of wisdom. I wrote him off at that point, because you may speak what the world considers this amazing intellect and knowledge of physics and astrophysicistry. Guess what? When you reject that the God we know beyond a shadow of a doubt created this, you have thrown away the very key to understanding the universe to which you say you understand so great. That's the thing that we forget. Though they claimed to be wise, what does Romans 1 say? They became fools. Their foolish hearts were darkened. The rejection of God actually turns you over in your mind. The rejection of God lends one to be dropped into an abyss of depravity. By rejecting God, you reject the only source of wisdom. You might be wise in your own mind, but that's where it stops, or in the minds of the finite being, what we know as humankind. But faith lived out is the absence of doubt. When you and I do what I said as Billy Graham, put that Bible down on the ground and say, Lord, I am bound in the finite. I know you are infinite. God, give me the ability not to doubt what I know is truth. Even any time that I do, I know it is my limitations and my inability to comprehend the things of you. The Bible says, Lord, that the secret things are yours, but the revealed things are ours. God, keep me resting, trusting, and at peace with the revealed things of your nature, that I will never understand a lot of things. I won't, you won't. We will understand them, what is it, in the sweet by and by, when we meet on that beautiful shore. But I know that faith lived out is the absence of doubt. And then the second thing tonight, in verse 2 comes, and final thing comes out of verse 2 there. For our ancestors won God's approval by it. Some of those versions say, now faith is the essence of things hoped for, and the things certain of what we do not see. For this is what the ancients were commended for, I think is what the King James says. Meaning, this is what our forefathers were credited for, blessed for, that they were honored for, they were rewarded for. What were they rewarded for? They were rewarded for their faith and belief in what they could not see. Actually, I think it was even a greater honor for them. Why? Before Christ, but before Holy Spirit. See, we have the Holy Spirit that affirms God's wisdom and God's truth to our hearts. So when you and I, okay, we don't think nothing about it. We get on the Ollie's and get yourself a $25 beautiful $100 Bible. Beautiful, right? Got your concordance. You got all this stuff. Got the red letter. I'll pay special attention to the red letters. No, pay attention to all of it. Amen? It's all God's Word, not just the red letters. I don't think they should have red letters, because pay attention to all of it. It is just all as important. Every bit of it is important. I got caught out when I was young. I said, oh, it's the red letters. Better pay attention to it. Good gracious, pay attention to all of it, because it's all God's Word. Just because Jesus said it, guess what? You think he didn't say the rest of it? Yes, he did. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But God honored these men and these women that were sold out followers of the Lord back then that did not have the continual indwelling of the Holy Spirit that you and I have. So we can get our nice little Bible. We can open it up. We can listen to God speak to us, affirm what the Holy Spirit affirms to our hearts as we read it. God takes the Holy Spirit in us, and that faith, guess what? We have the affirming power of God that is indwelling us, that affirms the truth to our hearts. They didn't have that. There was a little burning bush every once in a while. There was someone doing a miraculous thing, Samson, that God would, the Holy Spirit would come upon him and these amazing works were done. But those were when the Holy Spirit would do particular works for particular manifestations of the power of God. Look at the plagues in Egypt with in Pharaoh's presence with Moses, right? Look at Abraham. And what God had with striking the, you know, all these different things, all with Moses striking the rock instead of speaking to it. And by the way, the misery that happened as a result. But God was affirming himself in these manifestations of his power. You go, I wish, you know, Brother John says, God would do that today, I'd believe it. Yeah, the Spirit of God dwells in you. What's wrong with you? We are a burning bush. Amen? What more do we need? So many times we get caught in that. If only there was a little more. We see the story of rich man and Lazarus. Rich man's, hey, let me go back and tell my brothers so they won't come to this horrible place. What does he say? If I raised you from the dead, they wouldn't believe you. Hey, they've got Moses and the prophets. Meaning, you're either going to believe or you're not going to believe. And really the same is true with us. Faith is being certain of what we hope for, sure of it, certain of what we do not see. It is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen, and our ancestors won God's approval by it. Third and final thing tonight, God honored our forefathers' faith and will honor ours. God honored our forefathers' faith and God will honor our faith tonight. Are you living in that? Are you living in faith? Are you living in obedience? Are you living in the, God, I'm just kind of just waiting for you to show me a little bit more yourself before I really believe it. If Jesus came to you in the middle of the night, like on the Back to the Future, remember when Marty went down there to George McFly's house in that big green suit? Y'all remember that on Back to the Future? Those of you who are smiling, I know what you're talking about. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Oh, you're all too young, right? Remember that? Put them earphones on there and played that there heavy metal music and old George McFly. Remember? If Jesus popped into your room tonight, if you won't believe now through the Spirit's affirming power, you wouldn't believe if he came into your room tonight, sat and had a conversation with you. I'm telling you, you wouldn't. Because if you will doubt now when the Holy Spirit speaks into your heart, what's the difference in Jesus standing in front of you? Is there any greater way to affirm to us than in the heart of hearts? Is there? Tell me. There really isn't, is there? We often think that, though. God, just speak to me in a bush. No, because in 3 months from now, when you've basically explained that away, well, I think my neighbor might have had a pyrotechnic thing in that made the bush start smoking. So I don't think that was real. You know we would. I can promise you. I know human minds. The same way a mother says, I'm never having kids when she has a baby. And what? 2 years later, ready to have another one. Our minds explain away and we forget. Either tonight you're going, you know, God, I know you're real. God, I know that the work of the Spirit is a tangible thing that is evident every single day of my life. God, thank you for speaking to me through your word. Yes, God, your ways are not our ways and your thoughts are our thoughts. Your ways are higher than our ways and your thoughts higher than our thoughts. God, teach me to trust you. God, don't ever let me doubt your word. God, let me realize that when I don't understand it, it's not a you problem, it's a me problem. God, let the essence of my life be obedience, submission to your plan and will for my life. And God, let the life song of my life be yours. The life song of my family be obedience, submission to your will, and don't let that stop, Lord, till the day that I breathe my dying breath. Whether it's at 12 years old or it's 112. God, let me run the race to completion. I don't care if I'm 30 and feel like I'm 90 and feel like I can't take another step. God, if your plan is for me to live another 40 years, Lord, I don't have the strength, but I know that you are God. You're omnipotent. You have the power to give me what I need to do what you need me to do for your glory. God, to you be all power, dominion, honor, strength, and praise. You know what happens? That's a basic declaration that you want your life to be a living sacrifice to the Lord. Are you doing that? Are you waking up and going, Lord, I don't know how in the world I'm going to make it another day. Oh, well, great. Yield yourself to God's power. God, I know I feel like I can't make it another day, but I know in your strength, yielded to your plan and purpose, God, I can live 1,000 more years if it is your will and your glory and your design and sovereign plan for my life. To God be the glory. You know what I know? Watching my friend Robert Drawdy and how he's responded to Logan's death, to God be the glory. His expression of faith, trust, and resting in the work of God has not been something that 2 weeks ago, when he got that first phone call that Logan was found unconscious on the side of the road, he didn't go, well, Lord, I guess I'm going to get serious in my walk with you now, Lord. This is going to get good. Let's just try it out, Father. I'm going to trust you this time. You think that happened? No. What happened 2 weeks ago this Sunday was the culmination of faithful, sold-out commitment to Christ over the years. Armoring up in the Word, deeply resting, trusting, and hoping in the Lord long before that phone call came that Sunday afternoon 2 weeks ago. What he was doing is the expression of what he'd been living in the tough times back then, the valleys, and all of the struggles that were happening over those years was preparation to give glory and honor to the Lord when he was in the ash pile starting 2 weeks ago this day. Where are you in that? Are you practicing the faith of your fathers? A sold out, let's say your parents, your family fathers weren't. You know what we've got? Something more important. We've got our godly fathers that we can look to who stood firm. We've got the Pauls. We've got the Silases. We have these demonstrations all throughout Scripture of godly men and women who stood the test of time and ultimately received the blessing of that faith. Look at Rahab the prostitute, man. Look at her faith. We're going to see that in the coming weeks. You imagine that? God blessed her because she had faith and literally lived that faith out. And look what happened as a result of that. Isn't that unreal? God used a prostitute. The faith of Rahab and blessed him. That's powerful, isn't it? Childlike faith is the faith that God's calling us to tonight. If you're not living in it, the Bible says you have not because you ask not. How many tonight need to spend some time with the Lord before you go to bed tonight saying, God, I don't have faith. Or my faith is extremely weak. And right now, my walk with you is extremely shallow. God, grow me, Lord, so that I might be a vessel and a picture of your grace. Let's pray. Father, I thank you tonight, Lord, for your word. God, for this day, this worship day, Lord, that's ultimately an act of lifting up corporate worship. Father, a living sacrifice to you. God, an awesome picture of your mercy and your grace, Lord, in each and every one of us, God, through salvation. Father, as we have lifted up corporately and as sacrifice of praise today, God, and thanksgiving and the reading of your word, Lord, as you prepare us now to go out into our mission field, Father, embolden us to speak the truth, to live the truth. Lord, let us not be caught up in all of the mess, Lord, of life and all those things that we have no business messing around with. God, keep us focused on what's important, Lord. Help us be the men and women, Lord, that you've created us to be. Lord, ones that live with passion and purpose, ultimately to glorify, lift up, and honor you in everything that we say and do. Father God, let you be preeminent in everything, Lord. We thank you so much for each family represented here, for this body of Christ, Lord, all that you've entrusted us with. Let us go now with boldness, Lord, into the mission field, and to you may be all glory, honor, and power. We ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You'll have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Headed Home with Pastor John. If you'd like to know more about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, please visit our website at longviewbaptistchurch.org and click our contact link. Thank you for joining us.